Good morning.
It's great to see everyone. Happy Easter. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How are we all doing this morning? It's great to see everybody. The first thing I want to do is introduce a young man that was baptized on Friday night. Nelson was baptized. He's a student at GGC. Can I have you stand up? Congratulations. Next week, we're going to be back in the theater. Amen. It's been fun being out here today and last week, but next week we're going to be back in our usual location, and that's going to be exciting. At 10 o'clock in the morning, next weekend also, I will not be in town. I will be preaching at the church in San Antonio and talking to them about helping them out with the transportation for the conference. And so as a result, next week, our brother Anthony Alford is going to be preaching the word. Amen. Anthony was... spent many years in the ministry as an evangelist, and now he's a manager at Zaxby's. And so next week you hear him preach the word. Amen. I know he's going to do a tremendous job. Also, I want to remind us, May 6th we're going to be in here for our International Day lunch. And so if you need some more invites, there's some in the back. Make sure you pick them up afterwards. Let's continue to invite our friends and our family members. It's going to be a great time. Damien Jean-Baptiste from the church in Barbados is going to be our guest speaker that morning. It promises to be a great time, and then we'll come in here and have a great feast. Amen? Amen. Teens, stay behind on that day. They know what I'm talking about. The title of my lesson today is, I Believe in the Resurrection. You know, last week I was making the point of how, you know, the jackpot for the lottery was some ridiculous amount, and a lot of us went out and bought tickets, although you wouldn't come out and admit it. But I am here to submit to you this morning that I believe that as Christians, we're the biggest gamblers in the world. What do I mean by that? You and I are staking our eternity on the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And you were not there. I was not there. We're staking our souls and our eternity on that fact. And that is what the world is celebrating today. The fact that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead. If that is not gambling, I don't know what is. Because like we just sang, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose from the grave? I wasn't. You weren't. We're taking a huge gamble, and I believe it's the right gamble, amen? Amen. But it's still a gamble nonetheless. I believe in the resurrection. Jesus was the Messiah. The Bible teaches that he came into this world to die for our sins. And then he rose from the dead. And as a result of that, we have redemption through his blood. You and I are staking our lives and our faith on that fact. Amen? And I believe it's the right thing. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Are you with me? The fact that we believe this, that because he rose, one day we too will rise. That death is not going to be the final answer. You know, it's amazing. A lot of times we think, you know, what were they talking about in the first century? You don't have to turn to these verses. Let me just read a few of them to you. This was all they talked about in the first century church. Remember, they didn't have this back then. You sometimes ask, how did they share their faith? What did they talk about? This was what they talked about. They talked about the resurrection. In Acts chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read a few verses very quickly. In Acts chapter 4, you know the story. They arrested the apostles. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 1, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Verse 2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. I mean, remember, these are the same guys that had him arrested. They brought false charges against him. And they flogged him. They crucified him. And they laid him in a tomb. And Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to the apostles and some of the early Christians over a period of 40 days. And then he went back on to heaven. Amen. The day of Pentecost came around in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached the first quote-unquote gospel message. About 3,000 people came into the church that day. And they continued to go around Jerusalem talking about the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you this morning that the message is still the same. Jesus is not just another good religious teacher. Christianity is not just another religion. This is what changes everything. The fact that, you know, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is he that telling the truth or is lying? I believe he's telling the truth. Why? Because he backed it up. On the third day, he rose from the dead. That's incredible. You know, sometimes today you read about people having quote-unquote near-death experiences. Where, you know, they're out for, you know, a while and then they resuscitate them and they come back to life. We're not talking about that kind of a resurrection. This guy was in the tomb for 3 days. Now, the Jews counted days inclusively. Okay? Not like we do. Alright? But he was in the tomb for 3 days, and when they went to go quote-unquote anoint the body, he wasn't there. He rose. We just read it. The first person that appeared to was Mary. She goes back and tells all the other apostles, he's risen from the dead. They didn't believe it. A couple of them ran to the grave. Such that eventually when he did appear to them, he rebuked them for their lack of faith. Says, this was what I've been trying to tell you. That I was going to suffer and on the third day I'm going to rise. Amen. That's exciting news. Amen. That because of that, you and I one day we're going to live forever. Amen. That death is not the final answer. We're going to spend eternity with God. Like Bishop was talking about this morning, in the new Jerusalem. Amen. You can take all this. You can have it. You and I have taken our lives for that. That's why we've given up our lives for Jesus over here. Are you with me? But it's exciting to know that one day we're going to rise again. Not to face judgment, but to be declared righteous by God. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's talk about the significance of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading verse 12. Paul writes, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who are falling asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life, we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Amen? And we'll stop right there for now. Paul is making the argument here that if Christ was not raised, then the preaching of the apostles is empty and meaningless. In other words, this whole story about him rising from the dead is a fairy tale. If indeed Jesus did not rise from the dead. All this stuff that you and I believe in is a work of fiction. I mean, I saw, forget it. That's the argument he's making. He goes on to say that our faith, as a result, is a thing of make-believe. Remember that the apostles swore that Jesus rose from the dead. They staked their lives on it. They were either telling the truth again, or they were lying. Like I said earlier, Christianity is not just another religion. It hinges on the fact that Jesus came, died for us, and rose on the third day. I'm sorry, Buddha did not do that. Muhammad did not do that. Confucius did not do that. Shinto did not do that. Only Jesus did. And if that is the case, the Bible teaches very clearly there's going to be another resurrection. I mean, think about it. You're going to have a different body, the Bible teaches, one day. It's not going to be this one. Amen. You know, we're all getting older. I mean, the other day I got up and I was like, man, my right knee, what is going on? And I'm thinking, man, I hope I don't need surgery. But I'm going to shed this body one day. You will shed yours too. But we're going to get a resurrection body. A different body. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. That's what the Bible promises. There's not going to be any cancer. No lymphoma. No Parkinson's. No Alzheimer's. I mean, think about that. All these diseases right now that are killing people left and right. We're going to have a new body. If Christ was not raised, then the gospel preaching is in vain. My faith, your faith is in vain, it says in 1 Corinthians 15. The apostles were false witnesses. We are still in our sins. People that have gone before us have perished. I don't know if you noticed in the scriptures, Christians don't die, they fall asleep. Okay, that's the term it always uses. That's exciting. All right? Billy's not going to die. One day, one of these days, Billy's going to fall asleep. I'm not going to die. One of these days, I'm going to fall asleep. We're talking some deep sleep. You're not going to be able to wake me up. I'm not going to be able to wake you up either. But God's going to wake you up one day, amen? That's the exciting part. But it says, if Christ was not raised, then Christians are to be pitied amongst all men. But if Christ has been raised, it verifies our justification. It demonstrates the power available to the Christian. It gives us hope concerning our resurrection. It also demands our complete loyalty to God. Because this is not a game. It's great to gather every Sunday and to worship God together. One day we get to do it for all of eternity. Are you with me? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we're going to be doing in heaven. And that's why, you know, a lot of times, you know, I wonder about people. They want to go to heaven. They want to spend eternity with God. But on this earth, they don't want anything to do with him. What makes them think they're going to like it? If you don't like praising him now, what makes you think you're going to enjoy that on the other side? You see, like I've said before, all this life that we're living,
We're practicing for heaven. We're practicing for what's on the other side. We're getting a little glimpse of it. All nations will be represented. All kinds of people. Amen? Different shapes and sizes. I mean, I didn't know Alicia could sing. Man, that little girl, she's got a voice on her. If you grow up and make it big, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. It was awesome. I mean, I know they've been rehearsing the choir and the band for the last several weeks. I mean, didn't they do a fantastic job? Man, I wish I could sing. I wish I could play an instrument. I was telling Maestro the other day, man, if I could do that, man, they couldn't get me off the stage. Somebody else would do the preaching. I mean, it's awesome to be able to sing praises to God. Amen? But you see, being a Christian is awesome. Serving God in this life is fantastic. Now look in John 19. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he uttered several words. But I want us to look at the last phrase he uttered. Like Patrick said this morning during the communion, without the crucifixion, there wouldn't have been a resurrection in the first place. And that's why the Bible commands us every first day of the week to remember Jesus, the fact that he died, he was buried, and he rose on the dead for us. And that's what we do when we participate in the Lord's Supper every week. Now, praise God, we can do it today also. That is Easter, but literally, we do it every week. In John 19, in verse 20, let's begin in verse 28. It says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Another version talks about how he refused to drink it. When he had received the drink, Jesus says, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Wow. He was hanging on that cross for about 6 hours. Death by crucifixion is they kill you slowly. It's a horrible way to die. Praise God, we no longer practice it anywhere in this world. But back then, if you were a criminal, that's how you died. They hung you on a tree. And you suffocated to death. That's what Jesus went through. And at this point, he says, it is finished. Only he could have said that. For us in English, okay, it is finished. It's a common phrase. But it has a very different connotation in the Greek. This stuff is not working again. Okay, here we go. The Greek word is tetelestai, which means paid in full. Back in the first century, when people paid off their debts, they would stamp the document, tetelestai, and they would actually shout out, tetelestai! It was a shout of victory. It was a shout of triumph. In other words, my debt is paid off. That's what Jesus said on the cross. Tetelestai, it is finished. The debt that you and I could not pay, he paid it on our behalf. Are you with me? None of us will ever be able to do enough good to deserve to go to heaven. That is a false teaching. Salvation is by grace. We got to accept that free gift. You know, this guy died, and he shows up at the pearly gates, and he meets the Apostle Peter. And Peter says, well, you need 100 points to get into heaven. What were some of the good things you did while you were on earth? The guy goes, well, you see, every Sunday I went to church. Peter said, that's good. For that you get 2 points. The guy says, excuse me? He says, 2 points. He says, okay, well, I gave a tithe. I gave money to the church every week. He said, that's good too. That's another 2 points. All the tithes I gave, that's it, 2 points. So, okay, I got a good one. I was married to the same woman for 35 years and I never cheated on her. That must be worth something. Peter said, okay, 3 points for that one. 3 points? So how about, okay, I worked in a soup kitchen, I helped the poor, I did a lot of stuff for the homeless. How's that? It says 1 point. The guy goes, you have got to be kidding me. At this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And Peter says, come on in. That's the only way we get in. We could never do enough good to deserve heaven. Now don't get me wrong, we need to do good. Because we are saved. Because we are Christians. But nobody in here can earn their salvation. We are all sinners before God. And that's why we need redemption. That's why we need forgiveness. Amen? Jesus paid the price for our sins. Not just some, all of it. I know some of you guys, sometimes, you know, you get a car note, right? And you're paying off that car note. You always remember that last check, don't you? When that thing is totally paid for. Say, I no longer have a car note. It's paid in full. Then they want to come and sell you something else. And say, no, thank you very much. This car is paid for. But you know that feeling. A lot of us have mortgages. Okay? How would you like someone to stand and say, you know what? Whatever it is you own your house, $100,000, $150,000, whatever it is for you, it's taken care of. That's exciting news. Give me that any day, I'll take it. If somebody says, well, you need to line up for 6 hours to be able to appreciate that, I will be there for 10 hours. I will line up. But you see, that's what Jesus did for us. All our debt wiped it out. And that's the exciting thing about the Christian life. Not just our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Not that we deliberately keep on sinning because he's going to forgive us. Because when a person truly understands redemption, they don't continue to live in sin. Amen. If you truly understand God's grace, you will not continue to live in such a way as to hurt him. Amen. Are you with me? Right. But he's paid in full nonetheless. And that's exciting news. Yeah. And that's the good news God has called us to go share with the world. Right. Believe me, when it's all said and done, everybody's going to believe in God. There will be no atheists on the other side. As a matter of fact, the moment they leave this earth, they're going to realize, oops, there is a God. That was foolish of me, the way I lived my life back there, when God was not the priority. Because we believe in the resurrection, our lives need to be different. It can't be about money anymore. It can't be about our families anymore. It can't even be about our children. And they're wonderful. But your kids, my kids, will not get me into heaven. Right. They cannot. Right. I can't do enough good to deserve eternity with God. And that's where the grace of God comes in. That we just need to understand it, accept it, and start living according to it. Amen? You and I, we're getting the credit for things Jesus did for us. When Jesus said it is finished, the messianic prophecy had been accomplished, redemption was completed, and the ceremonial law was totally abolished. It was incredible what happened back then. You know, Kevin Bacon,
He acted in a movie called Footloose. Not the recent one. It's an older one. Kids, trust me. And his six-year-old son was asking him, was that you in the movie, you know, dancing up from the ceiling, from beam to beam? And Kevin looked at his son and said, no, that wasn't me. That was a stuntman. And the six-year-old said, what's a stuntman? He says, well, that's somebody that looks like me, dressed like me, and did those things, but that was not me. And the son asked him again, he says, were you the one on the balance beam? You know, and then you nailed the landing. Was that you? He goes, no, that wasn't me either. That was a gymnast. A double. He said, what's a gymnast double? He says, well, again, somebody that looks like me, dressed like me, and, you know, and did that stunt. And the six-year-old son looked at him and said, then what did you do? And Kevin Bacon looked at his son and said, you know what? I got all the credit. You and I got all the credit. We haven't done anything. Jesus did it all. But we're getting the credit. We're getting the glory of what he did for us. And it needs to sober us up. And the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, are we living lives like we believe in the resurrection? Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Let's close out by looking at John 17. In John chapter 17, beginning verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Incredible. I pray that when our time comes, that you and I will be able to say something close to this. That God, I have brought you glory on this earth by you creating me. I have fulfilled the purpose by which you created me in the first place. I pray that we are all going to be able to say this. Paul was able to say it, like I referred to last week. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but all those who have longed for his appearing. He's talking about us. Are you with me? Brothers and sisters, it's going to be worth it. You know, as they were singing this morning, I mean, there were tears in my eyes. To realize that one day, all our troubles, all the strife and all the hardships we're going to have in this life, we're going to leave it right back here. That one day we get to spend eternity with God in a place that is going to blow your mind. I can promise you. You ain't seen nothing like it. Like I've said before, I think, wow, it's going to be a word we're going to say many, many times when we're on the other side. We're just going to be going, wow, wow. Wow! It's all going to be worth it. I believe in the resurrection. Do you? Because if you do, it should change your life. And there's a song that I used to love to sing as a young Christian. It's actually in the songbook. It says, I'm going to view that holy city. I'm going to view that holy city one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm going to view that holy city. View that holy city one of these days. And then it goes on. I'm going to see my loving Jesus. I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to feast on milk and honey and a lot of other good stuff we can't even pronounce. I'm going to sing with Paul and Silas. I'm going to sing and never get tired. I'm going to fly all over heaven. And I'm going to praise the Lord forever. one of these days. Happy Easter. God bless you all.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, I come to you, precious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. First of all, thank you for allowing us to come here today and celebrate your Son's resurrection, God. God, I pray that whoever don't believe in a resurrection, that they would get with somebody in here today, God, and examine the Scriptures, God. And when they examine the Scriptures, God, let it make us tremble. God, I pray that as we go out of here today, God, that you will protect us and guide us and lead us safely. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray and give thanks. Amen. You're dismissed.